Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Garvin on GQ Pilots Radio. It's better, baby.
Better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you help me down.
Reality and relationships.
Baby, you've always helped it down. Oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave. But you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
You are now tuned in.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to me.
And it doesn't matter how low, whatever comes our way. You know. You and me, we gon' stay together.
Your host, K.L. Belden. Welcome to Reality and Relationships. I am going on by myself tonight. The lovely wife is taking care of our daughter. She's a little under the weather tonight, and so the wife is doing her thing. So I'm going to hold it down, but I got a guest coming on to help me out a little bit later on. I'll tell you who that is in a minute. But I want to thank everyone that's tuned in. And if you tuned in from the Blog Talk Radio website, appreciate it. And if you called in from 646-200-3838, we appreciate that also. We're here every Thursday night from 8 to 10, doing the things that we do, looking at relationships from every vantage point, every viewpoint, not just the dating relationships, any type of relationships where people are dealing with each other is a relationship, and we try to discuss it. And tonight, we're going to have an interesting show, simply because I have one of my former students coming on. He'll be on about 8:45, about 40 minutes. And he is doing some big things in the community that he lives in and in Brooklyn. But also I want to talk to him because he's a young man that is around the age that we're having so many problems here in New York and around the country. He fits that description. And I know him to be a very good dude, but I want you to hear from him how he deals with what's going on out in the streets and how he evades the problems that are out here, because it's definitely something going on the last 5, 6, 7 months in this country. And I am scared. Listen, I have young sons and I have young men that I've worked with, young ladies that I've worked with, and I am scared for them right now with everything that's going on in this country with police and everything else. So with that said, we will definitely get to, and brother's name is D. Frazier. He'll definitely be on at 8:45, so look forward to talking to him. So I'm going to give you my recap of my week. Not that it's been a big week, but this past weekend, I went to North Jersey, had a bowling tournament, and I literally bowled the worst. I bowled the worst that I have ever bowled in my life for money. I mean, to actually pay for the whipping I gave myself should be illegal. But I bowled Friday night in a singles event, and I came in dead last. The only other person behind me was me. I came in dead last out of, I don't know, 60, 70, 80. I don't even know how many bowlers. All I know is no one scored less than me. It was ridiculous. I don't know. I couldn't even explain what was going on. And then Saturday with my teammates, the team that I'm on, we bowled in an eight-man tournament where there was eight of us on the team, and I think there was 100 bowlers. But we as a team did pretty good, but I didn't bowl as well as I could have, but we finished in sixth place, and so we cashed. They were paying the top eight spots, and we finished in sixth place, so I am proud of that. Not proud of my performance, but hey, my numbers counted. We needed every bit of it to get to the place that we got, so I am definitely proud of where we got to and proud of my teammates. Shout out to Classic Walk Down, which is the name of the team. And Jersey wasn't bad. And actually, the event was called Battle Bowl. It was held over in Carolea Lanes in North Brunswick, New Jersey. And you know what? 3 days of bowling, it really was 2 days for me, because after Saturday, I was on sensory overload. Too many people, same place. I said, you know what, once I got back to the hotel, I decided I was leaving in the morning. So I checked out and I came on back home. Tiffin went to Seattle, Washington, and I'm sure next week when she's on, she'll explain her trip to Washington. I know that she had a wonderful time. She also went on a photo shoot today, and I know she was excited. Yesterday. And she was extremely excited about that, so I know she's going to look forward to telling you all about it next week when she comes on. But as I mentioned earlier, baby KL is a little under the weather. Looks like she has a little fever. And I got thrown up on. Yes, I got a whole bottle basically emptied out on me. But you know what? I don't care as long as my baby's okay. So she's laying down right now. We're keeping an eye on her. I'm going to take her to the doctor in the morning and make sure she's okay. So pray for the little one. And so, but right now she's sleeping, so we can't complain. But with that said, I want to take a look at the news. And it really has not been anything pleasurable in the news. And what I'm realizing with the news, I laugh at Tiff each week and I say, how come the news is so depressing? But I've been paying attention to the news the last couple weeks. It really is not that much exciting. One thing I can say is exciting is the young lady Monet. I believe it's Monet Davis, the young lady from Philadelphia, the Little League World Series pitcher. She has captured everyone's attention with how well she is performing against the young men. Even though Philadelphia had their first loss last night, I actually watched the game. If they win tonight, they go on to the championship. And there's been no team of African Americans to actually win the Little League championship. So it's actually And right now, tonight, both of the teams that are playing are full African-American teams. So one of them is going to be in the championship. The problem is the team that's in the championship is the team that beat Philadelphia last night, Nevada. And I can tell you, those young men can play some ball. But I'm excited to see what happens tonight. If Philly goes on to win, it would set up the rematch between them and Nevada. And you know what? The ratings have been great. I'm going to watch to see how young Monet does. He can't pitch again until they get to the championship, if they get to the championship. But one thing I want to say this to all the parents that are listening, and anybody that's listening, you can go share this with someone who has young kids that are playing sports. And actually, it's something that I asked Brother Frazier about, because he's one of the things that he's working on is connected to sports in the communities. I hate to see young kids emulating the negative behaviors of pro athletes. I coached, coached for many years, and still may return to coaching. When I coached young adults, especially kids in grade school or a little older, I would always remind them to act professional. I don't care what you see on television. I don't care what your favorite athlete does. You're going to act with a certain decorum if you're going to play for me. And there was a young brother on the Philadelphia team, clearly talented, clearly passionate about the sport that he's playing. But I'm sorry, you don't question or show up the umpire because you don't like the call. Yes, it hurts. Yes, it bothers you. Yes, it puts you in a bad situation. You are not the first, nor will you be the last. He was so demonstrative that you could see from looking at it onto the screen, you could see it, which means everybody in the arena could see it. I mean, everybody on the field could see it. So he gets back in, gets another strike. There goes the whole thing again. So now, what do you think is going on? Umpire knows he's been showed up. He's sitting there angry. There's no way he's going to get a hit. Sure enough, he strikes out. So he strikes out. He goes through this little tirade, little theatrical number, looks back at the umpire, gives him a negative look, then goes into the dugout. And when they flashed the camera on him quickly, I seen that he was crying. And I don't have a problem with young men crying. So let me just say that now, because I hear a lot of people, they get it, young men. If you're that passionate and you love what you do and you cry because you wasn't successful at it, I ain't got no problem with that. What I got a problem with is your behavior. I always say act like you've been there. If it didn't go your way, okay. Okay, we'll work that out. We'll figure that out. But don't show yourself in a negative way on television. No. It doesn't work for me. But I would say to anybody who has not seen a Little League World Series game, I think the game may be on tonight. Might be on right now. I'm not sure. I would definitely say sit down and watch it. These kids are incredible. They do some wonderful things. And so I would definitely say to check them out. It is definitely worth the watch. And I know they always replay everything, so I'm definitely going to try to jump on later on tonight and see if I can catch the replay of tonight's game. And then hopefully, if Philly makes it to the championship, I will go on to watch the championship. I believe they're playing Chicago. And if Chicago wins, I'm still going to watch the championship, at least a little bit of it. Now, also in the news, and we'll get to the Ferguson thing. That seems to be at the top of everybody's news, is Tiff actually passed this on to me. Casino workers are turning to prayer to save their jobs. Okay, let's see what this says. They turned to politicians, bureaucrats, businessmen, and union reps to try to save their jobs at the three Atlantic City casinos scheduled to close soon. Now hundreds of soon-to-be unemployed dealers, cocktail servers, and hotel workers are turning to what many say could be their last best chance. We're praying for God to open new doors for them, said the Reverend Eric McCoy, president of the Atlantic City Fellowship of Churches. Now, I am never one to have a problem with prayer. However, this would be something to see, but I don't know. I have to wait and see what the Lord is going to do with this one. But, you know, these are the times, man. Casinos used to be the move, and you could make a lot of money, and people are flocking down to casinos. People are broke. Country's broke. And so people's jobs are folding up all over the place. I feel sad for these individuals that will not be able to work because it is tough out here. And if you've ever been to Atlantic City is actually one of the poorest cities in New Jersey. I used to live in South Jersey, used to travel Atlantic City frequently. Camden and Philly are two of the poorest neighborhoods in New Jersey, and Camden has one of the largest hospitals in New Jersey, Camden Cooper Hospital. And Atlantic City has all the casinos. You would think with all that money flowing through there, the city would look better. Not at all. And it is struggling. So I would definitely... oh, we have a call already. It's my man, Norris. Okay. Yeah, yeah, put him through. You can stop the news and talk to my man, Norris. That's my dude. Brother Norris, you there, sir?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, my
sir.
Man, Norris.
What's going on, Brother Belton?
Yo, I am good. Let me just tell you a little something about this brother. Me and his brother go back well over 30 years, man, and holding down South Side Jamaica, Queens, where we came up and have our roots. And this is one of the good brothers that's out there. Pulls no punches. He did his thing, you know, but he's out there making it happen. He's on the front lines of a lot that's going on in the streets. And I respect this brother because he's out there. A lot of brothers do a lot of talk, and a lot of brothers say how we need to change things. Brother Norris here actually is out there doing it. What's going on, brother? Talk to me.
I'm all right, brother, man. It's called to touch bases with you on your show, man, to give you my support and tell you I'm very proud of you, brother, for the things that you're doing in our community, outside our community, and across the globe, brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I mean, listen, this is what we do, man. You've seen it like I've seen it. If we don't do nothing, then they just going to pave the way for other folks to come in and take what we have. And somehow, you know, all of us got to do a little something if we're going to hold on to what we got, because things is changing so rapidly, so quickly. Somebody got to put something in place. And, like I said, I respect what you do, because we got to have that, man. We got to have somebody who's out there listening to the voice of the streets and trying to keep that peace, because
right.
There's too many of us checking out at the hands of each other. And now we got cops that are just out of control causing us
right.
to check out right on camera. They're not even caring now what's going on. And this is daily now. It used to be every couple of months.
They don't even care no more. I'll give you a little bit about myself.
Definitely.
I'm, like Brother Belton said, I'm from Southside Jamaica, Queens. I work under my mentors, Erica Ford, Life Camp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the streets on a regular basis, but I'm on the streets on a positive note to help cure the gun violence that's going on in South Jamaica, Queens. This is a place that I helped tear down as a young man. And I feel it's my responsibility as an older brother that I made it through the wars to put myself out there and help build my community back up. Everything I do is from the heart and for the heart. And it's just sad how things are going on across the cities, the countries, and it's generated towards black youths.
Yeah.
And it's a problem. It's become a serious problem, and we're trying to address this thing on a regular basis.
I appreciate that, brother. And you know, let me tell you something, man. It's sad because, you know, you and I both know we've seen a lot of brothers that's no longer here. We've seen a lot
right.
of brothers get taken out that's no longer here.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is I used to understand it years ago. Like, I understood the hustle. I understood the game. I understood how the street went. Understood how corners worked. I understood all of that.
Right.
But it seems like now the violence is over nothing. Like, cash is snatching cash lives because of a seat on a train, or because you bumped into a cat, or a cat looked at you. You know, the game was never like that.
Well,
and go ahead, brother, speak on.
Yeah, I want to say, you know, all the nationalities, races, they've all had their ways of building up their ethics groups,
gotcha.
Ethnic groups. You know, the Italians did certain things, the Irish did certain things, Chinese did certain things, Germans did certain things, so they can build their ethnic groups up. Us as blacks, we had a shot to do certain things to build our groups up, and we stayed on it too long. We should have got up off it. We should have built businesses. We should have educated our children a little bit better, a lot better than what they're educated. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have educated black kids out there or educated young men out there, but we have so many more that we lost than we have there.
No doubt.
You know, it's deep. It's deeper than what we can even go in on your show. I don't want to take your time.
Well, no, but I'm going to say, because, you know, I'm going to set that up, because I'm definitely going to have you come back on, because you already know how
yeah.
I feel, man. You and I really
yeah.
got to go in for a good hour or so, man, to really discuss
yes.
what can be done, because I believe, and you're going to hear later on, the young brother that's coming on later on, Dee Frazier, he was one of the cats that was in my mentor group when I was his high school dean. But this is a cat that you can see he had the possibility in him then, but then he ran with it once he got out of high school. He didn't let what was going on around him. And I'm going to let him explain it, because this brother is doing some big things. And the one thing I'm proud of is that when him and I kick it, he'll remind me of things that I told him then that he's using now to help him maneuver and make some of the moves that he's making. And to me, that's what it's about. When you can see a brother that you helped years back now moving forward and doing for other brothers and making ways for them, that's what it's about. And that's why we're so happy to have this brother on. And that's why you and I are definitely going to get on in the future and kick it, because what you're doing with the brothers out in the street is you're showing folks. And Erica and I went to York College together, and she was a force then, years ago, because she wasn't going to allow injustice.
That's my queen, man.
Exactly. She wasn't going to allow injustice to stand. And this, we're talking about in the 80s, early 90s, she was out there making it happen. So to grow to where she's got now, where she's international, not just national, she's international with her movement, it's important. And she also shows how if you're committed to the cause of whatever it is you believe in and you stick to it, you can build yourself to the point that people will start to listen, but you got to be able to deal with the real rough times that's going to come from the lack of support. And she's held that to the point that now she has the ear of certain people when things happen, or she's the person that people will call, can you come in and speak, can you come in and do this? So we definitely going to kick that around when I have you come back on, because it's very important, because I think some folks want to know what can be done, because I think they're tired of seeing what's going on in a lot of the communities right now. So we're definitely going to have you back on to discuss that, brother, because that's close to me.
One thing I want to say before I go, I could be located at Life Camp. That's 111-12 Sufton Boulevard. Again, 111-12 Sufton Boulevard. It's Life Camp. We take care of our young youths, male and female. If a family has a problem, any children that's locked up that need to be reached out to, or somebody's going through something and you feel that it's unsafe for that child, please contact us at 718-704-8480.
Give me that number one more time, brother.
718-704-8480.
The Life Camp is the truth. Let me tell you something, man. If you need help or just advice on how to do this, how to deal with whatever, make that call and just ask a question. Just say, listen, I don't know what to do. I want to do something. How can I support? You know, don't sit around feeling confused that there's nothing you can do. This is what this brother does. This is what Sister Erica does. Reach out and find a way to support them, because you know what? You might be the link in your neighborhood that connects them to something big, and you may be the reason for that. So, yo, don't hold on to that. Make that call and support what they're doing, man.
Brother Belvin, I appreciate you having me on, and I congratulate you and your wife on your newborn child, and you have a blessed
day. Thank you, brother.
Day.
Thank you. I'll talk to you a little bit when I'm done, brother. We're going to hang out in a minute.
Brother. Okay, no
my man.
Have a blessed one. Peace.
That's my brother Norris, everybody, on the check-in. Definitely appreciate him coming in, man. Let me tell you something, man. It's one thing that I'm – here we go. Anytime I run into brothers that I grew up with, brothers that I came up with, and I see that they're healthy, and I see that they're doing the things that's necessary, it is an honor for me to see them. That's the baby crying back there. It is an honor for me to see them doing positive things. But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take a two-song break, and then I'm going to come and check on the baby, make sure she's okay. We're going to take a two-song break. I'm going to finish up the news. And in a few minutes, we're going to have Brother Dee Frazier on. Young brother's going to tell you what he's about, what he's doing in the community, what he's doing for himself, and how he deals with some of the situations that's going on out here in the community. So we'll be back in two songs. You're listening to Reality of Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. See you in two.
You are now tuned in to Reality of Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Melvin. GQ Palace Radio. It's Butter, baby.
Yo, what up? What up? Peace, world. This your boy, Mellow Man Ace. And right now, you got it locked on GQ Palace Radio.
This is Elias, and you're listening to GQ Palace Radio. Follow me, yeah, follow me.
GQ Palace Radio.
When was that? Wasn't quite clear to me. What you had in store was ever only me. Didn't even know you took me by surprise. When I turned and looked, I saw that message in your eyes. There you were, out there on the floor. The way you move, girl, only made me want you more. I did not know you had been hypnotized to the movement of your body dancing in my eyes.
GQ Palace.
I knew I had to hold you and make you mine. Don't want to control you, just have a good time in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me, oh no, no.
Reality and relationship every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with K.L. and Tiffany.
I'm finding hard to be to concentrate. If I don't make my move down, it might be too late. I've got to make sure you don't get away. After all you've done, girl, to make me want to stay. All my life I've been searching for a star. Now my search is over, and here we are, living in ecstasy, yeah. When you lay down next to me, yeah, we're in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me.
You are now tuned in to the reality of relationships.
I want you to hold you, to make you mine. Don't want to control you, just have a good time living in ecstasy. Well, when you lay down next to me, ooh, ecstasy. When you lay here with me, when you are here with me, yeah, oh, it's ecstasy with me. Lord knows you're next to me, yeah.
Oh, baby, the more I love you,
because
loving you is all that's on my mind. I wish I could be with you forever and ever.
I want you. I wanna have you one more time. Mm-hmm. You got an easy way of loving, and it's the best I've ever had. Well, well, and it
tuned in to reality and relationships.
Oh, baby,
welcome back to Reality and Relationships on GQ Palace Radio. I am your host, K.L. Belvin, and we are happy to be back on the air. You know, I was talking about the folks praying for their jobs. Listen, all I can do is hope that these cats are spared having to go on unemployment, because it is very difficult out here to find work. And for that many people to be unemployed at the same time, it is going to be very difficult. Also, I'm seeing here it says pet owners warned after plague. Health officials in Colorado have issued a warning to residents in Boulder, Colorado, that the bubonic plague has been found in fleas taken from prairie dogs. Avoid all contact with wild rodents, including squirrels. Now, you know what, folks? You can say what you want about your religious beliefs. I'm a man of God, and I'm a Christian, and I believe in the Bible. I don't care if you want to rock with me or not. If you read any of the scriptures, have you started to notice that some of the things that you read are starting to happen? So I'm going to leave it there and let you take it and run with it any way that you want. But the bubonic plague, come on, that killed millions in Eastern Europe at one point, because the fleas were traveling from animals and then into people. And, you know, that's serious business. And I don't even know how the bubonic plague got here to the United States. So we got to start paying attention to stories like this and situations like this. This is ridiculous, man. It's getting to a point now where you just want to build a bunker and just go ahead and do what you got to do, because for me, I just pray. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be, because I'm going to continue to do the things that I got to do to try to help others, to try to protect myself and my family. And I'm not going to stress. I'm going to leave the rest in the Lord's hands, because some of it we're not going to be able to control anyway. But I would be amiss if I did not speak about the violence that's going on continuously in Missouri. And I'm a little concerned, because now they're showing news media folks, people in the news, who it doesn't seem to matter that they're media. They're opening up tear gas, firing rubber bullets. And Tiff and I watched a video today where the gentleman is doing a reporting. He's saying to them, I'm media. And yet they firing away, where he had to basically leave his lights and they ran off. And also you see another gentleman had his hands up and they fired tear gas and hit him with a rubber bullet. I'm not really understanding why that aspect is needed. Are these protests getting that violent that these measures are needed? I don't know. I'm trying to get an adequate news report. But when you got some newsmen making it seem as if the crowds are the ones out of control, and then you have other news folks showing you that the police are out of control. And Tiff brought to my attention earlier that a gentleman turned his gun, an officer turned his gun on media and basically said, I'll effing kill you. The news guy is saying to him, you know, take your gun off me. His hands is up. He's like, stop pointing your gun at me. And he's basically like, yo, F you and I'll kill you. Now, wait a minute. We have seen the media in the Vietnam War and all the other wars before and after that. The media has brought us visions of what's going on. And we know that by law, they have certain privileges that allow them to report on what's going on. We have now gotten to the point that not even their rights, we already know the rights of the brothers in the streets are being violated. So now not even the folks who want to try to report it have rights to talk about it, where we actually see folks being told to turn their cameras off and then finding out that once their cameras are off, being treated in such vile ways. You know, I don't get it, and it makes me nervous, because once you start to violate the rights and rules that were put into place, well, at that point, it's anarchy. And once there's anarchy, those with guns are the ones that prevail. And I understand the call for peaceful protests, because that is what's needed. But it is very difficult for me to tell anyone to stand there in peace when you're nervous about getting murdered because the folks on the other side are not respecting the laws and the rights of a peaceful protest. See, what made Martin Luther King's protest so powerful is that they had nonviolent protests. They said, well, just arrest us. We're going to sit in. We're going to do whatever to bring attention to problems. But if the police are going to open up and shoot you, open up and kill you, well, who's going to stand there for that? Who's going to stand there knowing that you're going to get murdered because the other side is not respecting the very laws that they're supposed to? We've gotten to a point that folks really need to pay attention to what's going on. And I've seen some videos. I just watched one of the guy with the knife where a brother with the cell phone is showing that the guy had stole two sodas. The store owner was out talking to him, and he basically was like, I wish somebody would come near me. And he did not look stable. I'll give anybody watching that. But when the police showed up, yes, I heard him turn. I seen him turn towards them. I heard him say, shoot me. But damn it, don't we have tasers for a reason? Now, if that's not a time to use a taser, we're seeing guys getting tasered for foolishness. We're seeing guys getting tasered as they're trying to ask, what did I do? And they're getting tasered. This guy has a knife. He is not coming at you. He was standing on top of like a little ledge or whatever it was. The police tried to say he had the knife over his head and he was making a lunge and all that. No, I just watched this video. That guy didn't look like he could leap from where he was and get to either one of the cops. But isn't this what tasers are for? When someone doesn't want to follow your directions and now you have to put him down, but put him down humanely, so this way you have a chance to save the brother's life. Both cops opened up. And as Tip pointed out, one of the cops opened up, continued to open up as he was down on the ground. So the first four or five shots wasn't enough. We need a couple more just to make sure he might get up and throw the knife. What is he, Bruce Lee? So something's not sitting right with how quick the laws are being violated by those that are supposed to uphold the law. I'm seeing too many videos of police just crossing the line and not caring that video is on them and actually coming up with ways to kind of block each other so the videos can't take everything that's going on while the crime is still going on. Punches to the face, stomps to the head, and everything like that. What do we tell young folks? Do we tell them comply and then maybe take the ass whooping of their life? Because I normally do that. I say, look, don't fight with the police. Just do what they say. Try to get as much information. We'll fight it out later. You know, when we come pick you up for the precinct or we go to the courts, and I've even heard other officers of color tell the same thing. But what are we supposed to do if when our children, male or female, do that and they're still beaten? Do that and they're still killed? I seen a video of a woman butt naked in her apartment, roughed off and dragged out of her apartment naked. Now we don't have decency? Now we can't get a towel? We can't wrap her up in something. She's a threat. A buck-naked woman is a threat to six or seven men with guns. That we have to take her out of her apartment buck-naked because, what, she's going to reach into her coochie and pull out an Uzi or something? Well, come on. If you really start to look at it, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense that end violence, that just end life violence is the ultimate. Just, that's it. That's it. Kill him. That's how we're going to handle the situation. We're not even going to go to court. We're not even going to take him in. We're just going to kill him, then call him off. Because that's where we're at. And Ferguson, I'm sorry, Ferguson is just a smaller version of what's going on here in Brooklyn, what's going on in other cities and other places. In a matter of days, you're going to hear about somebody going through something in Ferguson that wasn't supposed to catch it, and then maybe they'll start to do something. But y'all going to have all the bucket challenges, ice challenges that you want, man. We need to do something about this violence against young black males. Where's the challenge for that? And I'm not talking ice water. No, I'm not talking about running out and getting guns. We ain't going to fight no revolution right now, but it may come to that. But can we start a challenge for that? Can we start a legal fund to protect these brothers and sisters that's getting roughed off? I seen a video of a young kid in Jersey that if they didn't find the video, he was going to spend 12 years in jail. When a cop said, why are you resisting? Why are you going for my gun? And he was lying the whole time. And then they find the video and realize that this young man did nothing wrong. They drop all charges and all four cops are in jail. And one is in jail for extended time because he's the one that said, you're going for my gun, to try to put the young man in a position to be murdered. This cannot be happening so frequently by accident. Once, twice, okay, I give you. Every damn day? And the same individuals, young males of color? Young men of color being murdered or attempted murder? And they're not armed? At least if you gave him a gun and said, well, he tried to fight back, okay, maybe I can understand it, not agree with it, but understand it. We're just straight out shooting them like the Old West. Even in the Old West, they give you a chance to stand off and draw your weapon. So all I can say to the parents that are listening, yo, really stop and talk to your kids, man, and tell them that they might have to really, really check their surroundings. And coming home early ain't the worst thing. You're not soft. Just get home alive now. Leave some of the crowds alone. Leave some of the spots alone for now, man, until things get a little better. And if it don't get any better, listen, we got to figure out something. And as Brother Norris was saying, this is why his organization is so important that he's a part of. They're trying to increase peace, trying to cut down the violence. But we got to do something. Well, I can tell you, as we're coming up on 8:45, I'm excited about the young man that we're going to have on when he gets on, because one, like I said, anytime I get to see and hear my former students doing well, a little light inside of me shines a little bit brighter, because this is what I get up and go to work for. This is what I get up and do. And it is always my hope that every child that has been in front of me in the years that I've taught goes on to something that completely overshadows anything that I've done. Because then I can sit back and say, that's what I'm talking about. That's what it's about. It ain't about me. It's about what I can do to try to help these young men to become such pillars in whatever they're doing. So we're waiting for Brother D. Frazier to call in, because I want y'all to listen to this, brother. And I want you to hear the things that he's doing. And I want you to understand that this is a young brother you should support. And he's a young brother that's out here making it happen. Like a lot of the young brothers, there's a lot of good young men out here doing some good things, but you don't hear about it because the news is flooded with the foolishness. And so, you know, we talk on Facebook, and he's come by the school, and I stay on top of the things that he's doing, and I got to say that I'm proud. I'm very proud to see him doing such positive things. So as soon as we call in, we'll get him on the air. But until then, let's see. Oh, I have Tip and I are going to be in Dover next week. Yes, we're going back to Delaware. I know y'all go, they in Delaware all the time. Yes, we're trying to move there. So any event that we can do in Delaware, we do. We're trying to relocate and move our situation to Delaware. But we'll be down in Delaware the 30th, Saturday the 30th, for the Praise in the Park event. And we'll be set up selling our books there in Dover, Delaware. I'll post the information up on my Facebook page. Excited. Going to be there from 12 to 6, looking to sell some books, which will probably be the last event for the summer, because school starts that following week. It's not going to be the end of what we do, but it'll probably be the last event for us for the summer. And then, of course, it's back to the grind of doing what we do in school. And Brother Frazier, if you're on the line, remember you got to press 1. To let the host know that you're there. So this way he can get you in, because you might have called in, but he has to know that you're on. So press number 1 if you're in, if you called in on the phone, and the host will put you on with me. And anybody else, if you want to jump in, you want to say a little something, you want to shout out something, you want to talk, just press 1 if you called in. Definitely would love to take your question. All I ask is that you be respectful to the host. Remember, you cannot curse, so don't come up here yelling like we out in the streets. I know some of the subjects that we talk about are passionate ones, but please contain the foul language. We do want to hear what you have to say. So 646-200-3838, if you want to call in. We're still waiting on our guest tonight to call in. But, wait a minute. I didn't even shout out my new book. Yeah, I'm a shameless plug. Yes, I'm going to go that route to the shameless plug tonight. Lukewarm Saint, my new book, will be out. I've decided that I'm going to release it in November. I was thinking October. I was thinking maybe late September. No. It's going to be a mid-November release. before Thanksgiving and time enough before Christmas for you to do what you got to do. Story, a fictional story of an educator who is struggling between the things that he loves, which is women, and a little voice inside him asking him, what you going to do, man? How you going to figure out what's going on? And he's kind of torn between what is really doing the right thing and what is doing the wrong thing. He has his mother and grandmother in his life who are trying to explain to him how he needs to get on board and start to do things in a better way. And he has two friends on each side. One friend saying, man, bed down as many women as you can. And the other one is saying, come on, man, you need to change your life like I did. Get with the Lord because that's what he did. And so Brother Kevin is torn between all of that. And in the end, he has to figure out how he's going to make or if he's going to make any decision and how he's going to go about that. So Lukewarm Saint is coming out in mid-November. It is my third book published by my company, Braven Publishing. And I am excited because it is my first complete attempt at fiction. I've wrote some fictional stuff before that was published, but this is the first time I've written a whole fictional book, and I'm excited by that. So this is what we're going to do. So I'm going to tell you what. We're going to take Brother Fraser. Got to see what's going on. Waiting on Brother Fraser to come on. So I'll tell you what. We're going to take we'll take two songs. We're going to take a two-song break. And we'll come back. Hopefully we'll have Brother Fraser on, and we'll go forward with the show. You're listening to GQ Palace Radio, Reality and Relationships, every Thursday night from 8 to 10. And Tiffany will definitely be back next week. She's taking care of baby care. We'll be back in two songs.
Always gotta have the pretty ones, right, Angie?
Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Sha Love, your Brooklyn actress for Atlanta. Every Thursday, you know I'm tuning in to Reality of Relationships from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on GQ Palace Radio with the beautiful Tiffany Belvin and the always funny and blunt K.L. Belvin.
The way I love too much and I give too much and you take so much till I ain't got nothing. Your energy, I with waves on me, said it draining me until I'm empty. One better day, but all your crazy ways, am I loving you in vain? Somebody to help me, I don't need negativity, I just need some clarity.
Love you sometimes.
reality and relationships.
Back to Reality and Relationships. This is KL, and thank you for being here with us. We're still waiting on Brother D. Frazier to call in, so whatever he calls in, we'll just take it from there. But until he gets in, you know, hopefully nothing happens to the brother, because I know I just spoke to him. So whenever he calls in, we'll take it from there. But until then, we'll go back to, you know, this senseless violence and all this other stuff here. Really, I think we have to look at a few factors, but it's very difficult when you see such blatant atrocities committed. But one thing that we really need to start arming ourselves with is an understanding of what our rights are, what our rights are being violated, and what non-compliance means. Even though you may be 100% right and the officers are wrong, if you sit there and struggle with them, if you sit there and fight with them, it is going to create a problem for you. Comply. And I know it's a very scary word right now with the fact that, like as I said earlier, folks are overstepping the bounds and doing some very dastardly things. But comply. Get yourself to the precinct and let's go from there. Do not try to fight with the police in the street. Do not try to fight with the police on the train platform or in the train itself. Seen a video where a brother was trying to argue about he was just sleeping and the police are getting at him. The problem is once you start fighting, it becomes something totally different. And now the police that are going to show up are not asking no questions. They see you wrestling with one of theirs. It'd be the same as if you came up on the block and seen somebody wrestling one of your people. You ain't asking no questions. You're just getting in. Try not to allow it to get to that point. Yes, I know it's very difficult. Yes, I know it's very scary. It's scary out here. They got guns. You don't. And you're scared that if you get your hands put behind your back, you don't know what they're going to do to you. I understand that. And I know what I'm asking. I got three sons, actually. But one son is down in Alabama, and Lord knows I'm scared for him down there the way he runs his mouth. But he's at least down there with some boys from the Navy, so at least they got guns that can shoot back, I guess. I don't know. But my other two sons who are here going to college, one is almost finished. He's got another year, and he graduates. Actually, they both have a year. One's going to graduate with an associate's degree, and the other one's going to graduate with his bachelor's degree. But on any given day, they look like any other teenager out here. So do I fear for them? Yes. Do I pray for them every day? Yes. But the thing is, you got to know your rights. You got to know the laws. You got to know when the numbers don't favor you. Sun Tzu in The Art of War said, when your opponent has the advantage, retreat. Don't fight. When you have the advantage, then you fight. And if the advantage is equal, you can fight. Now, key, when it's equal or you have the advantage, you fight. When you don't have the advantage, you retreat or you don't fight. Now, you do not have the advantage when a person or persons have guns on you. I don't care how much you struggle. Remember, I'm holding a weapon. You're not. I also have more individuals who are going to show up who are holding weapons. You don't. Now, we also have to start policing our communities. We have to start taking care of our neighborhoods, making them safer for ourselves, so we don't have to rely completely on the police. We got to start handling business ourselves. The same way you could turn a video camera on a cop roughing off someone in your neighborhood, the same way we got to start cleaning up the negatives that we see going on. Get this ratchetness under control and foolishness and drug dealing, whatever else. We need to start taking care of some of that ourselves. You know, I saw a video of two brothers fighting on a subway platform. I don't know where. It wasn't New York because the train did not look like a New York City train. The brothers is fighting, and I hear the brothers screaming. Well, the brothers videotaping saying, yo, brothers is getting it in. You see there's no one here on the platform. They doing their thing. And you hear the brother on the ground going, yo, we got a knife, bruh. He got a knife. So the guy was like, yo, he got a knife, yo. I don't know what to do. He panned the camera towards the train, and people on the train got their phones out, and everyone's watching. And you see the guy with the knife, he's swinging with bad intentions. He's swinging with intentions to kill this dude that is under him. You see blood on the ground. You hear the dude screaming, yo, he got a knife, bro, he got a knife. And the guy goes, yo, you want me to help you? What kind of question is that? How do you ask the person screaming out that the dude has a knife who's bleeding, do you want me to help you? Really? And the thing that bothered me more is that the time that you spent videotaping, you could have went and got some help. You could have helped get a trash can and buff my man in the head and say, yo, y'all got to chill something. Yeah, I know. If you do that, it brings it on you. I understand that. And yes, that would cause me to think a little bit too. But then go get help. If you don't want to jump in and save that brother's life, I got you. Go get help. Or go get a couple of those brothers off the train and be like, yeah, we got to do something. Because we can't just keep videotaping murders, man. How did we get to that point? How did we get to that our cell phones are now the first thing we pull out when someone's in dire need of assistance? It's scary. To think that you could be getting your brains beat in and the first thing that somebody's going to reach for is their cell phone? Really? I was just going through my news feed now, and I saw it said group of teenagers beating up a 73-year-old man. I'm not watching that video. I saw a video the other day of two guys sneaking up on an older guy at a gas station and basically knock him out, beat him up and go through his pockets. Really? Come on, man. You know, we used to have integrity in all communities. We used to have integrity. And I still think we do it in a very small amount, but integrity used to be something. You used to see brothers and sisters stand up for it regardless of what color you were. Now? Come on, man. Don't make no sense. And it's scary because I have to deal with these young men on a regular, but I'm not scared of them. I'm scared of what's going to happen to them. I get along with the young men. I speak to them, and I'm firm with them. It is what it is. But when I see how these young men respond to authority, it scares me because authority ain't responding back the way I'm responding. Shoot first, we'll talk later. And in Missouri, I don't even know how the Ferguson thing is even going to be handled. Because it done got so out of control. You got riot gear, tanks, rubber bullets, tear gas on a daily basis. And I don't even know if the protest is working. Is the National Guard there? Are they there for state? And then there was a video today. And yes, I watched a lot of video. A guy came on today and said, don't be fooled that the protests are set up. And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch this one. This caught my attention. I love conspiracy because I am a conspiracy believer. You say what you want. When you give grown men syphilis and watch them die, you're capable of anything. And that wasn't too long ago. Do your history. Learn your history here in the United States. They gave grown men syphilis and watched them die just so they could do medical studies. So please. He said that they were paying protesters, homeless guys, to basically stand in the crowd with signs as protesters and then trying to antagonize the police so the police would have excuse to open up on the protesters. They said they've even went as far as hiring folks to come and fire off weapons to give the National Guard and folks reason to let off on the people that are protesting because they're after the property, the homes, and other things like that, because this is all part of a plan to start to move folks where they want them to go because it's the land and other things that they're after. As outlandish as that sounds, you never know. We heard some of the same things with Katrina, that the levees gave before the hurricane actually got there, and that it was to get rid of those homes that people had no insurance so folks could buy up that land and build whatever they want to build on it. We've seen the regentrification of Brooklyn, where areas that were routinely places of color have been redone, reorganized, and the prices set higher than they ever were, so the folks can't get back into those neighborhoods, and then those neighborhoods have started to change face. And not just white faces either, faces of all different nationalities, but outside the structure of what was originally there. So there's a lot of things that you can find that is put out there. Yes, a lot of it is propaganda. I got that. But you still need to know what's being said so you can make conscious decisions for yourself. See, I don't like just to be told anything. I like to read. I like to watch. And I like to start to see if what I'm reading, what I'm watching, what I'm listening to is lining up. Right now, things are not lining up. And I'm an educator. Listen, it's my job to teach, so it's my job to learn. I'm sitting confused. I am confused when I see why, and I speak to, I got friends in the offices. I sit and speak with them and go, yo, how do y'all let that rock? And they go, yo, we bring it up. But then when you put yourself in a position to be fired, like, I don't want to lose my job. So I'm like, they're applying pressure on you just opening your mouth? Wow. So then what's supposed to be done? If you got officers scared to snitch on officers, what's that say for the private sector? So if anybody needs an excuse why they need to start policing their own neighborhoods, just turn on the news. Read your news feed on Facebook. I pay attention to all this, man, because I'm interested in, you know, everybody talks about Big Brother, that. It's weird to me. But not the way that other people think. It ain't just sitting around, like, they ain't sitting around just checking everybody out, because everybody else is not threats to the national whatever. But as long as you have the technology to do so, you don't really have to worry about too many folks. When you can spy on someone's phone, and you can spy on certain things. I wrote the other week, everybody's talking about this Facebook Messenger app and the things that it allows itself to do on your phone when you download it. I deleted it. Okay. What you really need to do is get online and read the Homeland Security Act. Read what is allowed under the Homeland Security Act. That if there's reason for Homeland Security to believe that you have connections to certain people, they can come into your home, search and look for things, and not tell you that they were there. No warrant is needed. If they find that you are connected to things that could be considered a threat to national security. Now, you may go, well, I never get to that level, but you'd be surprised what they consider threats to national security. And you need to start looking at this stuff, because if we have whole acts that allow the government to infiltrate your home, then where are you actually safe? So just something to think about when you're sitting around. You go, oh, please, these conspiracy theories. And you know, I don't understand is how people will grasp conspiracy theorists, and conspiracy theorists really grasp all that's going on, but you're all from a Bible, and they look at you like, please. You can't sell them on the Bible, but yet they'll tell you how there were 17 shooters that shot Kennedy, boy. But it is what it is, man. But you just got to be careful, and you got to be mindful. And if you're praying, folk, whatever your faith is, then your prayers better be heavy now. They better be going up on a daily basis. And for everybody, I don't care what your faith is, kneel to your God and ask him to pray for the safe to and fro movements of people from their homes and back home, because it's difficult. It really is. I have a truck with tents that as soon as I get the chance, I'm trying to change the tents, because I get officers that stop me because of the tents, and I'm nervous at night. I really am. Now, I happen to have a PBA card with me that I show to the officers, and once they see it, they go, okay, who you know on the force, and they look on the back, and they see the information, they see who I'm connected to. And I don't sit around my chest poked out about that. I'm happy to have that because it helps. I've seen officers come with one look on their face, and I'm nervous. And then I show my license and that PBA card, whole expression changes. Okay, buddy. And I'm like, whew, because that didn't look like it was going well. And when I'm out at night, I go straight from where I'm supposed to be, and I go home, man. I ain't messing around. And I try not to be places that just don't feel right. I still call on that street ingenuity, intuitiveness. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Wrong word. That you gain from being out on the block and watching what's going on. I call on that on the regular. When things ain't feeling right, I'm out. Call me soft, call me scared, call me whatever you want. Ain't happening. Because there's too much going on out here, and I'm not trying to get caught up. And that's another reason why I'm trying to move. But as you see on television, it really doesn't make a difference where you are. Police decide to cross the line. It is what it is. So, if you want to call in and offer your thoughts, 646-200-3838, make sure that you press the number 1. Let the host know that you want to get on. Give the host your name. It will let me know that you're on, and I would love to hear from you. Love to know what your thoughts are. Feel free, as I said, your viewpoints will be respected. Just don't come on, have a lot of cursing and stuff like that. It's not what we do. But I definitely would love to hear from you, because these are some very trying times. Very, very trying times. And I think there's another little clip of the Fresh Prince where Jazz is holding his hands up, and he says, you can put your hands down. He said, nah, man, because that's how you wound up getting shot 6 times. And I was like, wow, art. Art representing real life. And that was the 80s or early 90s. And here it is, right on point. And there is something, too, when you watch movies. You know, I'm a science fiction buff. When you watch Star Trek, I remember I was reading this. If you look at Star Trek and you look at the things that they said would be possible in the future, he flicks out the communicator. Well, that's nothing but a flip phone. You see him touch his chest. That's another form of communicator. That's nothing but the earpieces or the things, the microphones that we wear now. Or do you see the earpiece in Yahora's ear when she's doing the communication? We have those now. Tricorders, how we just, they read the readings of the body. We have those now. So sometimes you got to watch films and pay attention. For me, lately, it's these Purge movies. Now, they've already created a second one. Now, if you haven't seen the first one, you really should. The idea that for a night, any crime is legal because that's how the country purges itself of its negative feelings. And so you have to either lock yourself in the house, hide, do whatever you want to do, and you make it through the night, everything is good. But whatever they want to do for the night is legal. They want to break into your home, rape you, kill you, do whatever, fine. I found it kind of strange that you would have a movie like this and the person that is being chased to be purged is a black man. You know, you wrote this and you could have picked anybody that you wanted. You picked a man of color. So you got to pay attention to sometimes the way things are written and then ask yourself, why was it written that way? I'm an author and I'm working on screenplays and I'm working on my own personal plays. I make the choice of what I want my characters to look like, sound like. So when I choose a man of color, someone made that choice. Someone came up with the idea of, what if we had a country that for one night let all crime be legal? That's an idea in someone's head. Well, you got to be careful when ideas pop up in someone's head because art can then lead into real life. Don't get it twisted. And we go as far as now, create Purge 2. Wasn't good enough to do the first one. Let's do a second one. Let's do a second movie where murdering and hurt and maiming people for one night. And I didn't watch the second one. I ain't gonna lie to you, because after the first one, it left me kind of, really? I would say to get a group of thinking people together, a bunch, because you really want to have a great conversation. Have some wine, have some beers, whatever. Watch the movie. And then have a great conversation on what's the likelihood of this being something put into place. And if it was, what would it look like? Because trust me, somebody's doing that without the wine and beer. Might even be sitting there with some Jack Daniels and thinking about it. Because you're seeing some of that now. And you can call me crazy. You can say whatever you want about me. I ain't got a problem with that. But I am a realist. And I do look. And I look at what, and I consider what I see. And it makes me nervous. Call me a sucker. Call me a scaredy cat. Call me whatever you want to call me. Then offer an explanation for me. Explain it to me. I'm an open man. I will sit down and listen to someone who's intelligent. If they have something to say, because that's how you learn. Explain it to me why all these mothers have to worry about their sons. Explain to me why fathers who are doing what they're supposed to do are burying their sons early. Why their daughters are being beat senseless if things is not as bad as I'm making it seem. And I put those questions on the table because it affects all of us. Because once the laws change to prevent that, then all of us are stuck trying to figure out what we should do. And that's what we need to do. How do we then live in that environment? See, I'm trying to get away from the city because at least if I'm away from it, I could deal with certain things on a lesser level. That's why I'm trying to get up out of New York. But when you got so many people on top of each other, man, come on. You're seeing the situations on the train. You're seeing the videos every day. We got sites, Media Takeout, World Star Hip Hop, that live for these type of videos. So you got people creating these videos, but I'm just talking about the real life videos, not the stage stuff. I'm talking about just the daily occurrences of people acting crazy and how it's being dealt with. And how there's no more discussion. You know, I watch movies where hostage negotiation was a good negotiation is when nobody gets hurt and you get the people out. Now a good negotiation is if you blow off the head of the cat that's kidnapping them and get the people home safe. If you clip a couple of the people that's hostage, okay, no problem. They'll be all right. We'll give them some money. What was it today? The Tosh.0 executive? Him and a guy running out of an apartment after being attacked and the police shoot them? Kill one, hurt the other one, and then find out that they shot them incorrectly because they were running from being beaten and attacked? So you can't even run for help now and not catch a hot. How was that? They come running out of the apartment building. The police were called. Didn't ask no questions. Hey, saw a dude with a knife? Let him have it. Shoot the one cat three times, the other cat once. Didn't find out they were 100% wrong. And the dude who did all the damage to begin with, they didn't even have arrested. So now you got to go explain to someone's parents. And they were white. So now you got to explain to their parents, oh, we shot your son by accident. We're sorry because he came running out of an apartment bloody. So instead of asking any questions, instead of trying to apprehend, keyword apprehend, meaning take in, not to die, decease, murder, end, whatever you want to call it. So you didn't say, oh, KL, you into this conspiracy stuff. Come on, KL, it's not that bad. Please call in. Explain it to me. Here's my email. info@bravenpublishing.com. Send me an email and tell me how wrong I am. Explain to me what's going on. Because I'm scared. I'm scared for kids between the ages of 10 and 25. Because it's either the open season. If they're not beating each other to death, there's someone else doing it for them. And then they can't even get help. Because the people that are in the neighborhood, because what was the numbers? What was it, three cops in Ferguson? Three cops in Ferguson on the police force. It was three cops, right? Three black ones, right? Okay. So you're in a basically 90% town, 80% town of color, 90% town of color with three cops of color. Yeah, yeah, I know those conversations go over well. Come on, man. And I know some people listening are going to say, oh, you're making it a racial incident. It is a racial incident when the people who are dying keep looking the same way. You think it's by accident that when you watch movies, the people of color do not survive? Now we're seeing that in real life, the people of color do not survive? Come on. You going to tell me it's not about color? Please prove me wrong. And the crazy part is I still refuse to become a racist. I still refuse to become prejudiced. I still will rock with every color out there because they're good people on every side of the coin. But you can't tell me it ain't open season on folks of color. And some of these young men, yes, are bringing attention to themselves for the wrong reason. I got that, and I'm with you on that. And I'm doing my part to try to fix that. That don't mean we should kill them. We're anesthetizing that? That's what it is now? You know what? Let's forget rehabilitation. You know that Morgan Freeman was a dope fiend? Charles Dutton, the guy actor that played Rock, was in jail on murder charges. Some of our more talented actors and actresses had tainted paths that if we decided to just off them, we wouldn't have their works of art after the fact. Yes, you're going to do some things coming up, and maybe when you get old, whatever. That's horrible. But the rebound, in pursuit of happiness, the gentleman who was Chris Gardner in The Pursuit of Happiness, the character Will Smith played him in The Pursuit of Happiness, the cat was homeless. You think when he was sitting in that Oakland bus station with his foot up against the door with his child, who was younger than the way they portrayed his son in the movie, he was actually younger. So he had a younger child in a bathroom, foot up against the door, just trying to get through the night so he could get to the gig and then get to the shelter. Do you think he knew he was going to be a millionaire at that time? If we decide to shoot him and his child because they're trespassing, so he doesn't get the opportunity to turn his life around and become a millionaire to where he helps people, becomes a powerful advocate for the homeless, it's not by accident. How can anybody watch in one night 6-7 videos of people actually being terminated? And then they all have a familiar thing that they happen to be of the same color. Come on now. Really? I'm not seeing young Asian cats being murdered. I'm not seeing young white folks being murdered. I'm not seeing young Italians. I'm not seeing young Latinos. Well, some Latinos are offing themselves, but I'm not seeing them murdered. Now, do I see young brothers really beating themselves senseless? Yes, I do. Do I see young brothers doing some things that are breaking the law? Yes, I do. Do I see them committing crimes that are just vile? Yes, I do. And learning has to be put into place. Teaching has to be put into place. Reconciliation has to be put into place. But I say to anyone, go watch the end of South Central, the movie, when he is speaking to his partner who is holding his son. And he says, I told a man in jail I would die if it meant helping you. And he started to explain to his son, if you steal from a man, you can return his goods. If you punch a man in the face, in time he will heal. But if you take a man's life, you cannot give him anything or his family back. We need to pay attention to that. And we need to understand that. I don't care what a young man did. If he's guilty of a crime, then let him serve his time. But he can be rehabilitated. There are many brothers that go into the system, get out, and understand that they don't want to go back and make tremendous changes and become something so different than what they were. You wouldn't even believe in what they told you that they were locked up. But if we start offering them and we start putting them down like dogs, then we got to a very sad state. And we're there right now. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say, because then you explain it to me. Somebody call in and explain it to me if I'm so wrong. How do we have so many videos? I seen a collage the other day, a 6.5-minute video of collected images of police brutally assaulting and killing, or shooting and possibly killing, young men of color. How is there that much to collect? The movie Fern, was it Fernville? The one in the brother getting shot? Fernville Station? His hands behind his back? Shot in the back? Come on, man. Abdul-Awima has some words with police. Gets taken to the precinct. Gets a plunger in his behind. Come on, man. Please explain to me what part of the game that is. Okay, I'm wrong. Okay, I got out of line, and I spoke to some police in a way, and I called you the F word, and that's the F-A-G word that you cannot use no longer, and I'm not going to use it. Okay, he called them a derogatory homosexual name. So you take him back to the precinct and accost him to the point that you stick a plunge in the man so bad that his whole life is being rearranged, and then try to cover it up? Come on, man. If I'm wrong, please. Help me. Teach me. I tell you what, it's almost 9:30. We're going to take another 2 songs. I'm going to go get me some water and calm down. And I'll be back in 2 songs. And let me tell you something. I want to thank everyone that is listening. But again, if you would like to call in, 646-200-3838, just press number 1. Let the host know that you have something to say. And let's converse. Listen, my guest, I have to figure out what happened to my guest. I will definitely set that up another day. But, hey, listen, you got me for the next half an hour. So when you come back, if you want to call in, any questions, any concerns, 646-200-3838. You are listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. I am your host, KL Belvin. I am not a racist. I am not prejudiced. I am not a racist. I just see things maybe a little different than everybody else, and I have no problem discussing it. We'll be back in 2 songs.
Reality. DJ's Shaggy Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m.
Ladies and gentlemen, show your love for the ambassador of R&B, Mr. Chenier.
It's a lights, camera, action. When you walk up in the building and you're looking mighty fine, come take a picture with your boyfriend. I see you're rolling with your girls now, showing out with your girls now.
That's right.
With your drinks in the air, partying like you just don't care. No,
they're playing your song,
your song,
to move your body all night long.
Your body, baby, yeah.
Know exactly what to do. Ooh. To make your body move to the groove.
Spotlight shining, girl, you're shining.
Come on.
Party lights, city lights. Let's go get in the crazy lights.
In the VIP section, we'll ask you to dance with no hesitation. We're moving on the dance floor, two-stepping on the dance floor. And when this party's over, my place, come on over, yeah.
They're playing
your song,
to move your body all night long.
Move your body, baby.
What's up, ladies? It's your boyfriend. Y'all looking so good tonight. Now, I broke it down for y'all before, but let me break it down for you one more game.
It's ladies' night, we just came to party.
Ladies' night,
on this feel-good Friday.
Ladies' night,
popping bottles everywhere.
Ladies' night,
living like you just don't care, no.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships, and we have found the long lost D. Frazier. D, are you there, brother?
Yes, brother. What's up, K.L.? How you doing?
My man, what happened, brother?
Man, I was calling a little traffic. I had to make a quick run, calling a little traffic, but now I'm back.
I got you.
I'm here
for
the rest
of
the night.
Not a problem. We got you for a good half now, so we're going to get right into it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a former student of mine that I was telling you about earlier on the show. And, yo, Brother D, tell him who you are. Tell him a little bit about yourself, man. I've been bigging you up all night. Tell him a little bit about yourself, man, and who you are and what you do.
Basically, my name is Darryl Frazier. Everybody call me Coach D. I'm a basketball coach. 20 years old, basically. What I do is I coach pro-am basketball, a lot of college guys, D1, overseas pros, NBA pros, and I basically coach them throughout the summer. I coach high school guys as well throughout the winter and throughout the summer as well. And basically what we do, we travel well throughout the city, and we travel in different parts of the country. We play ball, play against the top competition, and it's a lot of exposure.
I got you. Now, when you started this, because I know you started your, was it Frazier Academy?
Yes.
Tell them a little bit about what Frazier Academy is.
Frazier Sports Academy. Frazier Sports Academy is actually, it's a little program for basketball players who aren't doing well in regular school. They get a chance to move down south, and they get a chance to go to a small school where they can study better, get more attention from the teachers, SAT prep, ACT prep, and they get the workout like as if they were in college already. So they'll have like 2 to 3 workouts a day.
Okay. Now, this is all you, though. You started all this.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what made you sit down? Now, you're 20 now, so to get all this where it is now, you had to start at like 17, 18 year old, correct?
Sort of, yeah.
What makes an 18-year-old decide that he's going to take his future into his own hands and put this together, man? What was going through your head at that time?
Oh, man, I saw a lot of guys that could ball, especially myself. I saw a lot of us go wrong, and I always thought that, damn, I could help the guy behind me not make the same mistake me and my boys did. Like, if it's too late for me, I'm always a helping hand for somebody else so they won't be too late.
I got you. And so what's been some of the difficulties that you've come across since you started trying to put your own business into place to help brothers out?
Number one, having people buy into your program, because everybody don't want to buy into something new. And when it start rolling and everybody see different things going on, everybody want to be down. But when it start rolling, everybody's like, oh, nah, we don't know if we should trust it or not. So,
I got you. So now let me ask you this, because I know you and I talk on a regular. How are you able to stay focused and get folks to trust that a 20-year-old has his head together to be able to do the things that you do?
Being honest, a lot of my guys keep me focused. Just like this week, a lot of my guys, they put me on the grind to go even harder, because I'm seeing a lot of my guys that I've been with for 2 or 3 years moving on to college. So that got my head a little messed up, because now I'm like, damn. I'm like, yo, I did all that, and they thanking me. And I'm like, nah, thank yourself. You did all the work. So it basically keep me grinding and keep me going, knowing that I could do it.
Well, I'm definitely proud of you, brother, because you're making it happen. And I never had any doubts about you, because you was always a cat that was on top of his grind. Even when you was in high school, you was a focused dude, and you had the support system behind you. Mom and dad was always there for you to make sure that you was doing the right thing. So let me go to the streets, man, because you're out there, and I know I see a lot of your posts that you put out dealing with the chicks, dealing with the dudes that's out here, and you're out there in the parks, and the games is over, and it's late. So how are you handling and dealing with the police in some of the areas that you're in, because you're in some of the hardest areas in East New York and other parts of New York. You're in some of the hardest streets. How are you dealing with that in the sky and everything like that, with the way the police are acting out here?
Basically, me and my players, we stay far away from them, because we know that it's always a stereotype. So they don't know what I do down in Raleigh. They don't know what I do down in D.C. But all they know is, oh, he's a hood basketball coach. He's coaching hood guys. So that's all they know. So what we do is we play our game. We stay far away from them. If we want to hang out, we hang out. But on the other end, we definitely try to stay as far away as possible.
I got you. And what are young brothers saying? Because I know for a fact that you posted up a couple of deaths this past summer, maybe more than a whole lot the last couple of weeks, really. But I've seen you put up a lot of folks that's no longer here. How are you young brothers dealing with the fact that a lot of brothers are just being erased right now at the hands of police and other brothers? How are y'all young brothers dealing with that?
It's hard to deal with it, but a lot of my young guys, we basically that's the reason why we keep them busy. So we basically limit the chances of something like that happening. So
gotcha,
that's what we try to do, keep them busy. If they need something, we tell them, yo, let us know y'all need something, instead of trying to go rob a store, trying to go rob, because things happen. So we limit everything.
All right, so now I got to ask you, now you're there, you at the part where you're rubbing shoulders with D1 cats, you're rubbing shoulders with pros. I see all the pictures, you're even rubbing shoulders with coaches that can make things happen. How are you staying grounded enough that when they throw that little bit of money at you, that little paper, that you not decide, you know what, I can take that for me and just do me? How are you able to withhold that, withstand that, to be able to keep focused on your vision?
Oh, basically, and instead of doing that, I always look at the future. So that I always think to myself, like, damn, if I mess this up, a bigger opportunity might be able to come. I can't take the big opportunity because I messed this one up. So I keep grinding, because at the end of the day, I always know it's a bigger opportunity at the end of the window.
Got you. All right, so what's on the table for D. Frazier in the next 5 years? And you mean the next five, next 10 years?
Oh, man, I can give you the next 5 months.
Okay. Give me the next 5 months. Can you show your light? Go ahead.
Well, actually, I've been in talks with a couple of junior colleges, and I'm looking to take an assistant coach's spot real soon at a junior college. I'm looking at it's been actually four that I've been talking to, but it's one particularly down south in Rock Hill, South Carolina that I might end up taking. So I'm sending a lot of my guys. We actually in the process this week so we could get down there. I'm taking like four guys down there, and more than likely I'll be down there with them. If not set in stone, more than likely I'll be down there with them. Next summer, I'm heading down with my guys from the Goodman League. We're going to be going to Nike in Portland, Oregon. And I got to set up a portfolio, see if I can get any Nike money as well. So that's definitely in the works, try to get a little Nike sponsorship.
I got you. Now, you travel down to D.C. a lot. I saw the pictures of you taking the brothers down there to play against the brothers there and the brothers down there coming up here. How's it like going down to Chocolate City, where they definitely have a lot going on in the streets down there, and I've been down there a lot. How do y'all handle when y'all take that trip down there? Because, you know, a lot of cats don't like New York dudes when they come to town. How do you handle the outside cats? Because I know the ball players are cool, but how do you deal with the outside cats that come to these games and watch what y'all do?
Oh, man, the outside, being honest, the outside cats love us out there, too. We be in Barry Farms, and I heard it was one of the toughest parts of D.C. It looked like a tough place to be, but being honest, when I'm out there, we all comfortable. They feed us good. The older guys, they talk a lot of smack during the game because they want to see their team win. They don't want to see New York dudes come in D.C. and beat them. But once we do our thing, they be like, yo, y'all real good. They show us love, take pictures with us. So it's real love when we get out there.
I got you. Now, okay, being 20, you got cats around you, 21, 22, you're playing against older dudes, you got older coaches. Yo, how are you able to get cats to buy into the fact that at 20, your mental is strong? How do you get them to understand that you got this, that you really understand what you're doing? Because I saw you post that you was going to be the youngest D1 coach, and right now you're right at the doorstep of doing that because I see you about to take the assistant spot. I see you about to make some moves. How do you actually get folks to buy into that you got this?
Well, basically, a lot of my players, they really don't know. They don't even know I'm 20 until I really have to tell them, like, I'm really 20 this and that. But other than that, you basically got to show consistency to, like, other adults, other coaches, show consistency. Show them that you're not backing down from no challenge. Show them that you're more about progressing. Instead of just sitting there, and that's what I'm doing. I'm showing them I could multitask, I could do different things, I could put my hand in different things, and when I put my hand in different things, they could work. So that's basically what you got to do.
Excellent. Okay, so now looking at what's going on in the country, and you know, you're going to be traveling to areas, you just talked about Portland, you're talking about going down south, you see what's going on down in Ferguson, Missouri. When you see those type of situations, you see the situation with the cops and stuff like that, what are you sharing with parents who, let's keep it real, you got dudes that are 20, 21, 22 that's traveling with you, but a lot of them still stay at home with mom and dad, whoever, because they're trying to get on. What are you sharing with parents to help them feel a little more comfortable that when y'all do this traveling, they're not going to have to get that phone call that you're in the midst of what's going on, like what's going on down in Ferguson?
Basically, just tell them. Sometimes we tell them your kids are in good hands. God forbid if anything was to happen, I would feel the type of way. Cause while them kids are down there, while them college players down there, they're more like my brothers when they're down there. So more say if I wasn't older, they'll be more like my kids because I really gotta watch them because they coming down there with me alone. But other than that, we tell the families, like, the kids, they should be back. They will be back. And we just, that's all we tell them, really.
I got you. Have you started considering any overseas trips to play overseas anywhere, or right now you're just keeping it in the States?
In the States right now, I have a couple of guys that I've been with, like, a year. They'll be signing overseas contracts next week.
Excellent, excellent. So now, my brother, with the younger cats, because I know you got younger family members and I know you got folks that you deal with that are coming up.
Yeah.
What do you share with them to help them to keep their mind on how they can get to where you are if they want to come through Frazier Academy, like Frazier Sports Academy? What do you share with the younger cats? What knowledge do you give them, and what would you say to them to keep them lined up so they can get to you for you to be able to do for them?
Oh, man, just basically stay in school, do the right thing, follow the right crowd, don't follow the weak crowd. No matter where you're from, you can always make it. You can always do something to change other people. And basically, just look up, just find somebody that you want to model your life after, model your game after, and basically try to take similar steps that they did to succeed. And more than likely, it works.
Got you. Now, I know that you've dealt with brothers that have been incarcerated that have come home. I know that you provided an outlet for the brothers to get their feet back under them. What has that experience been like to be able to work with brothers that have been locked down but now have come home and they're working their way through Frazier Sports Academy? What has that experience been like?
Oh, it's a great experience because you get to see different parts, and now with that person, you can model them, and they can help you model your program, because you can go to younger guys and be like, yo, this is a guy that slipped up. He knows his mistakes. All he's telling you is don't make the same mistake. If you don't make the same mistake, you'll be a step ahead than he is. So basically, they help me as I help them. So that's a plus.
I got you. So now you know, if you take the assistant position, it's going to leave you less time to do some of the things for you. Are you ready to put that in someone else's hands to run with while you go make this paper? Or is that something that you haven't figured out yet?
Being honest, that's something that's still in my head, because I don't really trust a lot of dudes really on the basketball thing. The only person I really trust is my guy out in Brooklyn. And other than that, I really trust my father with it. But that's something I have to think about. Rock Hill and Raleigh, they're like 2.5 hours away, so that's not bad.
Even if I
got to go up there every week or twice every week to check it out, make sure everything is running smooth, I'll do that.
Now, I know from when I had you in high school, I know what role your dad plays in your life, but let the folks listening, what has your dad really meant to your overall everything that's made you you?
Oh, man, my dad been there 24/7, nonstop. I hear a lot of guys talking about how their father hasn't been there. I can't really speak on that because my father been here since day one. I don't remember a time where I need something and he wasn't there. I can't remember a time when he saved me a lot of times through trouble, through school, any incident I was in school. He was up there, made sure that everything got situated. Yeah, he's been a big part of my life, for real.
I got you. And so, listen, you know I'm proud of you, man. You know I'm
appreciate
here for
it,
you in any way, in any way possible. Because you know what, man? The one thing I can say and openly say is that it warms my heart when I see all of you that we used to all sit together and talk. And my thing was, it was never just about that time. I used to always tell you, it wasn't about right then and there. I used to always say, think ahead. Consider the future. That's why I gave you the information that I gave you, because it was about trying to figure out what you were going to do. How many of the cats from Urban Action High School that you went to, how many of those cats you still connected to? Because I see a few that rock with you playing ball, but how many of the cats from your graduating class you still linked up with?
Man, a lot. Majority of the guys, especially like if I see them in the street or something, and be like, yeah, I heard you doing the basketball thing. How's it going? This and that. But yeah, I keep in contact with a lot of dudes.
I got you.
Yeah, we haven't
lost
contact.
Now, I like that, man. So you know what? Here's my thing. What I want you to do right now is I want you to give out, because I want to make sure we have time to do it. I want you to give out all your information. I want you to give any contact information, any websites, any emails, anything, any events that you got coming up. I'm going to give you the mic. I'm going to just sit back. You let folks know anything and everything about what you got going on, where it's at, so they can get it, write it down.
All right, cool. Well, you can contact me via Facebook. Facebook is D Frazier, D-E-E, Frazier, F-R-A-Z-I-E-R. Instagram handle is @TeamDreamCEO. Twitter handle, Team Dream CEO. My primary email is Team Dream Hoops. That's hoops with a S-H-O-O-P-S at gmail.com. Phone number, if you email me or hit my Instagram and you tell me what you want to do, I'll give you my phone number. Everybody doesn't have my phone number. basically, events that we have set up, events August 30th and 31st, which is next weekend. That'll be a big weekend out in D.C. We play a couple of pro guys Saturday night at the Goodman League in Barry Farms. And that Sunday, August 31st at 2 p.m., we play at Georgetown University. So that'll be big. Nice. Tickets are $30, nice. But I can definitely get you in. I can definitely send a pull through and get you in. Just contact me. We'll talk. And that's it. Let me see. So that's about it right now. So we got on our schedule.
I ain't mad at that. You know, anytime you need me to put anything out there, just hit me up and I'll put it out. But before you go, man, I still got you for a couple of minutes, man. I got to ask you, how a young brother like yourself avoiding the ladies out here? Because I've seen some of the posts about some of the ratchetness that you come across. How you avoiding the ratchetness and not getting caught up in that with what you got going on, my man?
I mean, because I see it. I mean, being that I'm on the uprise, I'm starting to see more. I'm starting to see different classy females. So that still leaves me hope. Like, oh yeah, it's some classy females out here, for real. But other than that, pretty good. I mean, you still got a few. Because I know you saw that video last night.
I had to say a little something on that. I know my man came after me and was trying to say about being famous on Instagram, but what he failed to realize, and I don't ever want to disrespect anybody on social media, but he was saying, well, these things put you close to those things. Well, if you're famous already and get on Instagram, that's one thing. But you can't get on Instagram or Facebook and try to judge your life by how many likes that you get or how many whatever that you get, because then all you're doing is wasting time. It's different if you're getting on and you're networking, and you're getting on and you're doing the things you need to do. First of all, the chick in the video is trying to tell you about how her coochie is the best or whatever. But, Ma, if you really serious about you, why are you worried about your ex and what your ex's girls are doing now? That should be behind you. So you're really showing how much of a bird you are by sitting there talking about, well, my ex-boyfriend's girl. Come on, stop. Just leave all that alone. But then, you know, I was looking at some of the comments, and it's like, if she a stripper and she out there trying to put it out there and sell her wares, come on, you playing yourself to begin with, because if you really making money, you ain't got to do all that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and it's like, but, you know, I sit and watch, man. And again, like I tell you, I pay attention. And anytime I need to jump on, like, I got to remember that you cats are grown up now. Because sometimes I still think y'all in high school, I want to come at y'all like y'all Dean and be like, yo, man, why you got that on Facebook? And then I got to remember, y'all grown up now. So I got to sit back and be like, okay, yeah, they're going to have bottles. They're going to have this. Because a couple of cats had, like, pounds of bud on the table. I'm like, yo, the cops is on. I'm like, come on. But I'm really proud of you dudes, because the one thing I can say is that all of the young men that was in the mentor program was actually doing things that's positive, and I like that. I like that I can look at all you guys that was there, that was coming every day, that we sit and we talk. All of y'all either doing something positive in college, but all of y'all are doing something. And to me, I don't take credit for that. I just like the fact that I had something to do with all you young men going forward. And y'all then took the rest of it the rest of the way in doing it. So like I said to you, brother, I got to tip my hat to you, because you're making it happen and you're doing it. And the one thing that I tell you is, I'm going to tell you right now, is do not allow yourself to get derailed by somebody else's idea of your dream. If a cat tells you, yo, fam, you should do this, stop right there and say, hold on a second. See how that information helps you do what you do? But don't get derailed, because another cat can tell you anything, but he's not the cat walking in your shoe. Right now, where you're going to great places, because you got vision, you got plans, and you got action. Anytime you got that, it's going to be very difficult for you to fail. Now, you're going to hit some bumpy roads, and I know you already hit them, because, like I said, I watch your posts, and I see what happens when you're talking about paper. And I know when it comes to you put paper in somebody else's hands, you're not always going to get that back. But the good thing about it is, you doing the things you need to do. And so I'm going to say to you directly in public air, my man, I am so proud of you, because the future for you is so bright. Yo, just stay focused, man, because the world out there is out there for you. Just try to stay away from all the negativity that's out there. Just keep doing the things you're doing, because you got such a bright future, man, that, yo, it's boundless. There's no limits to what you could actually make for yourself. And at 20, man, let me tell you something. You could have things so in place that by 30, you want autopilot, just doing the things you need to build that paper for your family, anything. So, and I know you want to do for moms and dads. You on your way that way, man.
Appreciate it, KL. Appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it.
So before you go, give your final thoughts, your final words. Anybody listening, tell them something that, if nothing else of everything that we talked about tonight, tell them something about Deep Fraser that they need to hold on to now and what they're going to need to pay attention to in the future.
Oh, man, I'm a go-getter. I mean, I done saw different stories. I done heard different things, but it ain't hearing and seeing ain't better than being out there in the field when knowing what's going on. So that's the best experience ever. Don't you can listen to people, but people have different obstacles. Other people are different from you. So if you need to know something, get out there in the field and try it. I mean, that's how I learn. I learn if I make a mistake, it's a mistake. It's a lesson. It could be redone. So that's how everybody got to live. Because a lot of people, they listen to other people. Other people be like, nah, this is not a good idea. Well, I tried this and it didn't work. But that doesn't mean it'll work. It won't work for you. So that's what I do is basically I head in the field and I try it for myself. And that's about it.
My man. Well, listen, brother, I want to thank you. You know what? They say never late, better late than never. Better late than never. And I can tell you, man, I'm so glad that you was able to get on tonight because, you know what, folks need to hear young brothers like yourself. And anybody listening, let me tell you something. This is a young brother that you need to get behind because we don't have enough brothers out here that are focused like this man is. Now, if you can go out and stand online and buy new J's, you could actually hold off and put that money in this young man's hand to help him do what he's doing because he's going to give it back by opening up doors for the same young men that you're trying to buy those J's from by getting them into school and helping them get an education that's going to help them buy their own J's. So the idea is that this is the type of young man that you got to get behind the things that he do. Look for him on Facebook. Look for the Fraser Sports Academy in Raleigh, North Carolina, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, Fraser Sports Academy, Raleigh, North Carolina. Yo, search this cat out. Get behind this dude, man, because I'm telling you right now, this is an up-and-coming go-getter. He's not just saying that he's doing it. I can tell you that from 16 to 20, this cat has made it happen on his own with the help of the people around him, but he is far from done. So, D, I definitely want to thank you for coming on, man. Listen, anything that you want to promote, anything that you got going on, hit me up. I'll get you back on, my brother.
All right, cool. One more thing. If anybody like sons or uncles, anybody, if they need a college to go to, if they could play a little game, even if they want to be like a manager or anything, just hit me up. Hit me up on Instagram. I watch my Instagram 24/7 as we speak. I'm watching my Instagram right now, watching my Twitter. So, just hit me up. Tell me like, yeah, I heard you on KL show, KL Tiffany show, this and that. I'll get in contact with you real quick. So
gotcha.
That's another
thing. Give me a Twitter account also, because I don't think we get that to him. Give me your Twitter account also.
My Twitter is the same thing as Instagram at Team Dream CEO. Yeah, it's a lot of colleges, a lot of college coaches, a lot of college programs ready to throw money. But a lot of kids, they don't be ready to take it. They think they're ready, but they aren't ready to take it. It's a lot of money going to waste because nobody's taking this college money. So,
well, my man, listen,
go to college,
know,
holler at me.
You know you're doing it. Anytime you can get Clyde and Bill under control and doing what you got to do. You know my hat is off to you because both of them used to drive me crazy. But my thing is I'm proud of both of them because Bill is doing his thing since he's been home and Clyde has gotten himself under control and on and focus, and I see what he's doing and I'm actually proud of all of y'all and wish y'all all well. And you know I'm here. It don't just end because y'all graduated. Whatever I could do, you hit me up. I got you.
All right, no doubt.
All right, my man. Thanks for coming on tonight. That's Deep Fraser, everybody.
All right, thanks, KF.
Thanks a lot, brother. Oh, man, that's Deep Fraser, everybody. Let me tell you something, man. I am so proud of that young man right there. You know, every teacher's dream is to see that a student that they work with went on to something extremely positive. And when I see all the young men that I've worked with going on to positive things, especially this brother, I'm excited. Well, as we come to the end of tonight's show, I know I talked about a lot of things. I know I said a lot of things. And actually, the Lord works the way he works. And I gotta really say I'm glad D came on when he did, because I was feeling some type of way in terms of just looking at the way the country is going, the way the city is going. But after listening to him for that half an hour, yo, I don't feel that burden. I don't feel that heaviness that I was feeling right before he came on, because, you know, he's the reason why we got to fight. Young men like him, he's the reason why we got to make sure that mentor groups are in place in school, in the community. He's the young man that when Norris came on and said, if you need help, he's the young man that brothers like Norris are trying to protect, because we got to get these brothers out there and in positions where they can make changes. Those are the young warriors. Those are the cats that are going to protect us when we get older. And so you got to support a dude like him. So definitely check him out, D. Frazier on Facebook, man. He's growing into something incredible. I mean something incredible. And I am honored to just have had a small part in what he does. And I'm actually glad that we're still linked together, because I sit back sometimes and I just smile at what this young man is pulling off. And he's not just doing it alone. He's doing it with guys he went to high school with. He's doing it with guys in the neighborhood. He's putting the information out there. He is getting young men of color into college, giving them a chance through basketball to educate themselves and to go on to something greater than where they are now. Now, that's incredible, man. I can't say that enough. So please make sure you search this young man out and offer something. I don't care what you can offer him. Just offer him something that's going to help him do what he do. And with that said, as we get to 10 o'clock, I want to say again, thank you for tuning in to Reality of Relationships. Tiffany will be back with me next week. The baby is smiling, so she's feeling a little better. And you know what? I pray for everyone. And I pray that we can really start to change some things going on in this country, man. So all I can say to everyone is please pray for those folks in Ferguson. May no one else lose their lives. Please pray for everyone in all these communities where lives are being lost. We got to stop what's going on right now. So this has been KL. It has been my pleasure to be on the air with you and GQ Palace Radio. God bless and see you next week.
You are now tuned in to Reality and Relationships every Thursday from 8 to 10 p.m. with KL and Tiffany Velvet. GQ Palace Radio. It's better, baby.
Tear up from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
I just wanna give you, make love to you.
Love to you.